Welcome back to the program. Always great to have your company, wherever you might be listening, especially those that are Adelaide Crows fans. We're about to hear from your chairman, John Olsen, former state premier, now at the helm of the Adelaide Crows, along with the newly appointed CEO, Tim Silvers. John Olsen, Mr. Olsen joins me. Welcome to you, John. Great to have you on the program.
Thanks, Wayne. Good to be with you.
Now, I know you were rock bottom last year, but you finished the season off strongly. You've had this massive change to your footy department. I'm sure that there's a lot of excitement around for the regeneration of the Adelaide Crows Footy Club.
Yes, there is a lot of optimism around, and you can see that in the playing group. The latter part of last year's football season, the last three or four matches, showed some real promise. In the off-season, a number of players were unable to go home, and so they stayed and trained and joined a really close relationship with one another, which coach Matthew Nix has instilled in the group. And you can see in the way in which they interact with one another, it's a pleasant place to work. They're enjoying their training and participation at the club. It's a new dimension, new culture that Matthew Nix has put in place. And you add that to the assistant coaches that have come in to assist Matthew Nix, a pretty significant makeover, and you lay on top of that the draft, where we effectively picked number one, but it was Riley Thilthrop, which effectively two, but in practice we took it as number one because we traded that off. And we brought in Luke Pedler, Sam Berry, guys that have really performed in their trial matches this year. So there's some real grunt in the guys in terms of participation out on the field, where they're giving their all for this. The training has been good. Their fitness levels are far superior to the start of previous years, which means their training is well advanced on previous years. That is a good signpost there. And then you overlay that with Tim Silvers joining us in the next week or two as the new CEO of the club, and some changes at board level. So there's been some fairly significant change. We hit the canvas, first wooden spoon in our history, and we don't like being there, and neither do our supporters, I might add. So some real work has been done during the course of last year that's emerging, the benefits of which will emerge this year. A young playing group, I think, to your point, Dwayne, we've got the youngest playing group in the comp. We had the oldest, we now have the youngest, and there'll be some inconsistencies over the course of this year as these new young players get into the game plan that Matthew Nix wants to instill in them and see the benefits emerge over the next season or two.
You haven't been sitting in your office twiddling your thumbs, have you, John? You've been out on the terraces strutting your stuff. You've been out with the boots on. Sounds like it's not a thing that's happened at the club that you haven't been 100% with across.
Well, it's been an interesting journey, Budgie. I've worked out how much time it takes, although enjoyable time. I've enjoyed every single minute of it, but by gee, it's been a time-consuming role over recent weeks and months. But emerging with our membership base is the enthusiasm, optimism that we talked about, but also encouraging signs. Giving our fans hope about where we're going in the future.
Yeah, so you want to become a more inclusive club, understanding what the fans want and what the fans feel, and if there's a brick wall between what you think the fans want and what the fans actually do want, you want to break that one down.
Absolutely. I think it's important for the club to be as open and as transparent as it can possibly be. And you take your fans on the journey with you. And certainly we've seen in Matthew Nix and Adam Kelly, the GM of football, a willingness to explain our position on a raft of measures, where there's this sort of insatiable appetite from our fans, our supporters, for information. Now, being open with that information, you bring them in. In addition to that, in our media department, we're getting access for members. They get content about access to the inner sanctum. Matthew Nix has brought them in. They can see what's happening And that's an experience that they haven't been able to have previously. And on the back of COVID, where our fans and supporters couldn't go to matches, by giving them digital access to, quote, the inner sanctum, it gives them an appreciation of the club, keeps them engaged with the club, and gives them optimism and hope about where the club is going.
Great people make great footy clubs and great organisations, John, and you've been a part of some great organisations, including state government. So you obviously have to have the right people in place at all levels of the club. Has that been a difficult process to make sure that there's no flaws in the way you're structured up and the people that you've appointed in some really key positions, right to the top in the CEO, Tim Silvers?
Yeah. And, well, just on that point, if you have a look at Tim Silvers and his experience, he's an Aussie rules football fan. He would say tragic. He's been involved in the industry since childhood as a player, but importantly with the Hawthorne Football Club. He's been involved as the chief operating officer, occasionally the chief executive officer, the chief commercial officer of the football club. So he knows the commercial aspects of the club. He's been involved in the football department in terms of list management, TPP, soft cap. And as a result of that, he's a package that brings experience in the footy department, the commercial department, and how you need your revenue streams to be able to supplement what you want to do in the football department to get your on-field success for your supporters. So he's an all-rounder in that context. And importantly with Tim Silvers, it's his values that are really struck us. He is a down-to-earth, no-nonsense person that has really good values as an individual. That is what Matthew Nix is trying to take our playing group into, being good individuals, looking out for one another, being part of a team and working together. And in that context, Tim Silvers coming in will just complement, and I think it's more or less the last part of the jigsaw puzzle to do the reset, the rebuild for our future over the next year or two.
Was it also a value for you to get somebody from outside? No one knows the state better than you, John, so you probably didn't need someone who is a South Australian or knows South Australia. You've got enough of those people at the club now. Was it nice to get somebody that comes in from outside and has an understanding of football from a different area and from a big club like Hawthorn?
Yes, well, a big and successful club like Hawthorn. And if you've been there for 14 or 17 years, you know what works and what doesn't. And his experience when Hawthorn went through some troubled patches, he was there, he experienced, he knew what needed to be done for their rebuild and reset. It is that knowledge and wisdom and experience that he's now going to bring to the Adelaide Football Club at a key time in our history or our journey. We're looking for a new home for the Adelaide Crows because we need to shift from our place at West Lakes, which is virtually a construction zone for residential at the moment. His experience with the Hawthorn Football Club in terms of looking at their facility at Dingley is going to be invaluable as we are at the pointy end of deciding the location of our facility. We've got to work out how we fund it and put it in place, how we build it so that it is not only an elite training facility, but as a facility that gets interaction with our membership base, our supporters and our fans. That is really going to be important. And so his experience, bringing that to us, will be invaluable on our journey.
So feel free to tell me, John, where your new venue's going to be. Everyone's sort of guessing and wanting to know where the secret venue is. Is it going to be the Parklands where the swim centre is? It's apparently not now. Theberton, yeah. Is that still your number one option? Parklands by the zoo, just next to the uni gym there? Or have you got an opportunity still across the road from the old Coca-Cola site on the edge of the river? Where's your new option?
Well, I think the Adelaide City Council, what we needed to do was get a very clear picture of what was acceptable and what was not acceptable. instead of going through years of negotiations, we might be able to do this, we might be able to do that, we wanted a clear and unequivocal set of planning priorities. What we got out of that, and I wrote to the Adelaide City Council to try and get them to have a meeting with us. That triggered effectively a meeting that was held on Tuesday night of this week that said there can be no administration block located in the parklands. That's fine. It's clear. It's unequivocal. We move on. So it won't be in the parklands or anywhere in that CBD area. Theberton has been a home of football for decades and decades in South Australia. It has the capacity to include community, amateur, league, and then the national elite competition. There's some real synergies that come from that in terms of talent pathways, elite talent pathways for young emerging footballers in South Australia. That is clearly, in terms of doing our due diligence, that's sort of filtering up to the top of the list as we go through. There's one other site that we're having a look at the moment, but logically, I think the Theberton site is emerging as the clear site that will meet most of our requirements.
Has Waverley been ruled out?
Yes. A couple of reasons for that. They have a trotting track running around that they use for the Royal Show. The Royal Show is in September every year. And, of course, when we get back to play finals, which we will one day, Dwayne, to not be able to use your facility because the annual Royal Show running over 2 weeks in September in the middle of finals, that won't work satisfactorily from our point of view. So had a very close look at that, but they're impractical applications in being able to carve out time for both them and us on that site at a critical time for us.
So what do you expect from the playing group this year, John, in terms of your own parameters? You'll have markers, you'll have measures that they need to hit, but they won't necessarily be, you know, wins and losses. Well, they might be, but what are the markers where you can have Matthew Nix come into your office at the end of the season and say, hey, we hit these and we've had a successful year, even though, you know, it might not be winning the flag?
Well, we'll have we'll certainly have more wins than we had last year. There will be inconsistency this year as these young players get experience under their belt as they work through the new game plan. So it'll be an unusual year in that. It'll be some good days and some bad days on the paddock. But that, the key criteria is every player goes out on any given game day and has a red-hot go. That is, they give their all on that day for that match. And the fans and the supporters, what they look for is exactly that. And if we can achieve that and on the journey get some wins under our belt as we do the rebuild, then we're on the right path. That demonstrates we're on the right path, our game plan and our focus and our strategy's right. And when it is, you give it time to mature.
And does style come into it? Do you need to be an attacking style of team, do you think? Or does it simply come down to wins and losses at the end of the day and that ability to give your all? And if it's a low-scoring game, it doesn't really matter if the heart and soul's been given by every player.
Well, I think if I put myself into the fans' position, there will be some that will dissect a game in that context that you mentioned. But the majority of fans are there to watch a good game of footy. And what they want to know is every one of those players during that game has given 100% effort to the game. And if they do that, then you will overlook some of either impart a loss, although you wouldn't want that, but you would give the consolation is they had a red hot go and I want to come back and see them again next week. That's where I think the real measure is.
And sometimes there's a disconnect at footy clubs between their current players and their past players. There seems to have been one at the Adelaide Crows. Has there been measures taken to fix that?
Yes. Well, I've had a couple of meetings with our club champions of the past and that dialogue will continue going forward. We want to embrace everybody that's been part of the history of the Adelaide Football Club, the contribution they've made, never forget them, always involve them, and have them part of the fabric of the football club. That is really important, and some considerable effort will be put in to build on what's been happening over recent months to expand that going forward.
And the bigger picture for the AFL in general, have you got a thought on this whole expansion plan and whether we should or shouldn't, 19 teams, yes or no?
Post-COVID, I would have think, and as we come out of the COVID environment where a number of clubs have had financial difficulties, I think there is a challenge, too big a challenge for that at this stage. What we need is recovery, stabilisation of the 18 clubs in the competition first.
Do you have a rough idea, do you think, how long that might take, especially in your own circumstance? You know how much money the Adelaide Crows lost and how long it might take you. How long until the AFL might be in a position, do you think, post-COVID to consider a 19th?
Well, Dwayne, it all depends on how we get through this season. If we can get the vaccinations out in the broader community, if the season can, by and large, proceed uninterrupted, if we don't have to go into hubs, and these are all ifs, and you don't know, you can't be precise because you don't know whether the ifs are going to apply to us. But if they all happened, then I think 21 will be a stabilisation year. From our point of view, the Adelaide Football Club, we've got an 18-month strategy where we want to eliminate the $4.5 million debt that we've incurred as a result of last year. But being able to achieve that will depend whether we can have consistency of playing games, whether they can keep training as a whole group rather than in small groups in training to practice their game plan, and certainly not have to go into hubs or have restrictions in interstate games. So there are so many ifs, but the fact is the ifs are there.
Yeah, and you wouldn't probably want to compromise draft either in the next couple of years, given that if you don't make the eight, there's still an opportunity for you to get some early draft picks, and if it's a compromised draft, it makes it tougher.
It does. And of course, with drafts, we've had a constrained period over recent times. So this year, we were able to get out of the starting blocks and have a fair crack at the drafts. And hopefully, then that'll be the case over the next year. This year's draft, hopefully we can supplement that which we were able to achieve last year.
John, great to have a chat to you. I really appreciate the extended chat. Thanks a lot for your time, and I wish you the best of luck. Adelaide's a better town when both the teams are heading up the top end of the ladder and fighting for the big one. So I can't wait for that day again. Thanks for your time.
All the best. Thanks, Wayne. Pleasure to be
John
with
Olsen,
you.
Adelaide Crows chairman. You heard all that. We'll take a few of your calls after the break. 1300 736 736. Enjoyed that chat. Your call's next.